a miracle in this room with my name on. Every healing in this room, and it's here.
So I'm gonna put a praise. Hallelujah. We're going to take that praise that she just sang about and put it on this broadcast. Hallelujah. You're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I'm Evangelist Linda Caceres, CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry, Missionary Evangelist Linda Caceres, Gatekeepers Ministry International, hallelujah, radio station, dedicated and consecrated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just was blessed today. I'm blessed that my sister, Pastor Shayna Wise, is going to minister to us today, a powerful word from the Lord. I don't know about you, but the two ladies that she's ministering on, I've read about them in the Bible, but I never paid much attention to them. I'm going to find out a little more about them tonight. And so we just want you to get your Bibles, put your feet up, get your notepad, get your listening ear on, because the Word of God says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. If the Lord's not talking to the church today, then he's just not talking. But he is always verbal. He is always talking. He is always talking to his people in the worst situations and in the best situations. And we bless God today. Hallelujah. I thank God that I don't have a dead God. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I need him. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need my daddy. I need the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. Every day when I wake up in the morning, when I lay down at night, we give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. We put a praise on this broadcast. We put the blood of Jesus on this broadcast. We put the name of Jesus on this broadcast. Hallelujah. We bless him tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. My God, hallelujah. It's been a blessed day, rain or shine. We've had rain and shine today. It's been a really blessed day. Just say to yourself, I'm blessed today. Just put your hands on yourself and say, I'm healed today. Just lift your hand up to God and say, hallelujah today. I'm going to bless you, Lord. I'm going to praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God, we love you and we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for blessing us again this evening to be on this broadcast. Hallelujah. You divinely provide for it, Lord. You've had the greatest of the great on this broadcast. You've had the most anointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors on this broadcast. Even anointed lay people that just have a word in their spirit from you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for blessing us, and thank you for blessing us tonight on this broadcast. Let every word that we say be to glorify you, to lift you up, and to honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you know what? Last week I shared this joke, and I just wanted to start the broadcast off with this other joke. I mean, sometimes a funny thing that we say or do can help us through the day or through the night. So this one is called Walking on the Water. You may have heard it before. I mean, I think it's funny, and it's my broadcast. So listen to this. A priest, an evangelist, and a minister were in a rowboat in the middle of a pond fishing. None of them had caught anything all morning. Then the evangelist stands up and says he needed to go to the bathroom, so he climbs out of the boat and walks on the water to shore. He comes back 10 minutes later the same way. Then the minister decided he needed to go to the bathroom, so he climbs out the boat and walks on the water to shore. He too comes back the same way 10 minutes later. The priest looks at both of them and decided that his faith is just as strong as his fishing buddies, and that he could walk on the water too. He stands up and excuses himself. As he steps out, he makes a big splash into the water. The evangelist looks at the minister and says, I suppose we should have told him where the rocks were. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You keep walking on the rocks and you will not sink. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of us are learning how to have water walking faith. Hallelujah. I know that in today's world, that's what we need. We need it. We need it. We need it for what the enemy is attacking us with. We need water walking faith. And if you don't have it, you need to be connected to somebody that does. So we give God praise tonight. And I just speak water walking faith to all our listeners tonight, that you would believe God for big things, big dreams, that you would believe God that your son or your daughter can make it in the White House, that you would believe God that their education would be paid for by the time they reach college, that you would believe God that you could win 10 souls to Christ within the next month. How about believing God for that? So I just want to give a shout out to the nations, some of the nations that are drawn by the Holy Spirit to listen to this broadcast. They don't usually call in. They usually stream in. They can go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And on demand or even live, like tonight, we're live. Even live, they can go and on that website and listen to us right now. And if you're calling in, we welcome you. We're welcoming tonight people calling in for prayer. But right now, I just want to give a shout out to Venezuela and Turkey, Nicaragua, Barbados, Croatia, Slovakia, Jamaica, Argentina, Namibia, Russia, Somalia, Malaysia, Nigeria. We thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, Him leading you to this broadcast where you can be blessed, edified, healed, ministered to, delivered, and saved. New Zealand, we give a shout out to you. In India, Philippines, Kenya, Malaysia, Belgium, Pakistan, Dubai, Thailand, Vietnam. We give a shout out to Sweden and Egypt, Israel, Canada, London, the UK, South Korea, Trinidad and Ghana, Tobago, Norway, Germany. We bless God for you. We plead the blood of Jesus over these nations. China and Mexico, Australia, the Netherlands, Mongolia, Peru, Brazil, France, and this great nation, because God has His hand on this nation, and the other nations that we mentioned as well, the United States of America. I praise God that I live right here and was born in the United States of America. There's so much opportunity, and there's so much of Christ all over this place. I've been to China and seen Chinese that have to hide their faith for fear of being locked up or all their personal things taken from them, that they can't buy or sell or rent. I just thank God for taking me into other nations where I see how they live and how their culture is, and connect with them and share Christ with them and take Bibles to underground churches to these people in China, and also visiting Russia and the Philippines, Jamaica and Israel, and just being used by the Lord in the lives of those less fortunate than me. I thank God that I had the opportunity to touch some lives there, to lead some souls to Christ. It's not living easy in those places. It's not staying in the Ritz or the Marriott or the Sheraton or the Hilton. It's staying in homes that are like huts and homes that aren't built as fabulous as homes here, and driving around in vehicles that are nowhere near as nice as those here in America. But I thank God that I was obedient to Him and put everything aside. He said, if you leave your mother and father and your homes and obey God and your family, that he would bless you a hundredfold in this life. But he also added in that same scripture, with persecution. When you give your life for Christ and you sacrifice your life for Christ, especially in a communist country where you risk your life, God will return it to you a hundredfold. He knows the hearts that have gone into these nations and these countries and have blessed other people that are less fortunate than us. There, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people here in our own country that are less fortunate than some of us, and boy, if I could help all of them, I would. But I praise God that he's blessed me to be a blessing to the ones that I come across or that I'm aware of. My daughter has a ministry where she feeds the homeless, and she was doing it with her own money, and then her church was supporting her, and then they took the homeless off the street. So now she has to look for some homeless somewhere else, a group of them. She made oxtails and all kinds of things and got cartons to keep hot soup. And she would just go out there under the bridge and feed them and bless them and pray for them. So I just thank God that we do have an opportunity in this country to leave our homes and go out and minister to those on the street. I'm not too proud to go and minister to someone on the street and give them my coat or my shoes or my hat. And just think about it. It's a wonderful feeling. I remember one day I was sitting in my car, and I had just bought the best wrap sandwich that anybody could make. It was as wide as you can bend your hand into like a open wide letter C. That's how wide that wrap sandwich was, full of the best sliced turkey, cheese, everything. I came out of CVS, got in my car, and this elderly lady walked up to my car and knocked on the window. And she told me she was homeless, and she said she was hungry. And I looked at that wrap sandwich sitting in the passenger seat of my car, and I was getting ready to go home and bite into that sandwich. Chow down. And I just took it off the seat. I had an iced tea in the bag with it. I gave it to her, and I told her that I gave her some advice concerning the church and where she may be able to get help. And I gave her that sandwich and that iced tea. And I was blessed. I felt good about that the Lord even gave me that opportunity to bless somebody, because I had gone throughout the whole day and not thought about it. And she said, thank you, and she continued to walk across the plaza, and I just prayed that God would open a door for her, because I don't know. I know how old I am. I'm in my 60s, and she looked a lot older than me. I felt really bad. But I thank God for these kind of opportunities, because God will put you in situations to see if you're going to just send them away with a prayer like some people do. Oh, we'll send you, well, let me pray for you. And or if you're going to be a blessing to them. Now, I don't just give money to people on the street because I don't know where they'll take the money. I would rather take them and to a restaurant or a fast food place or someplace close by, pay the bill, and let them eat what they want to eat and bless them like that. My pastor early, 30-some years ago, said that's what you do, rather than give them money out of your pocket because you don't know where they're spending it. So we praise God tonight. I just wanted to say that to somebody, because maybe there's somebody listening that has been doing that. You do it as unto the Lord. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's what I'm talking about. These things last. These are eternal rewards. These are rewards that makes Jesus smile, makes him want to visit you and bless you with his presence. So I thank God. I value the presence of the Lord more than anything in my life. I can feel him on the job in the midst of these kids in the classroom. I can feel him in my car. I can feel him in my room, in my house, in my home, when I'm cooking. I love the presence, the manifest presence of Almighty God. Mm-mm-mm. Well, it's not my night to preach, but I'm acting like it. I just want to say this anointed woman of God, Pastor Shayna Wise, is going to bless you tonight. So get glued to your phone, your laptop, and give her your ear. He that has an ear to hear, I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through this mighty woman of God tonight. Pastor Shayna Wise, it's all yours, Pastor. God bless you.
Amen, 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 and thank you again for having me on your broadcast. I believe this is the third week that I am on your broadcast, and I am once again happy to be here on today. First, I would like to open up in prayer and then get into what God has for me to share on tonight. Father God, I just come to you saying thank you, Father God. I thank you for your word, Father God. You said that you're going to send it, and it's not going to return void, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you have even chosen me for this time, Father God, for such a time as this, Father God, to speak a word unto your people, and I don't take it for granted, Father God. Father God, bless all the listeners on tonight. Father God, may this word fall on good ground, Father God, and let the word have root, Father God, so that it can produce good fruit in the lives of the believers, Father God. I bless you, Father God. I bless Evangelist Linda, Father God, and her ministry, Father God, Gatekeepers. I just speak blessings over it, Father God, right now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, and I just praise you. I uplift you. The broadcast was opened up with us singing praises on you. The song said, I'm going to put a praise on it, and I put a praise on this teaching right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. I want to first start out by letting you guys know again this story of Shapira and Pua is straight out the Bible, and I wrote about them in my book, Acts of Intercession. I wrote about them in my book. They were midwives. They were midwives to the Hebrew people. And coming from the healthcare field, I've been in the medical field for 20 plus years now. And I used to work with midwives, and midwives are women, and there's some men. I don't know what they call them, midwives, though. I'm not sure, but they deliver babies. They're the ones that help to deliver the babies. They are the ones that's with the woman as she's in travail, as she's giving birth. And I love this story. A lot of us are spiritual midwives to other people. God has called us to be spiritual midwives to help people give birth to the thing that God has placed in them. I consider myself a spiritual midwife to the ones that he has assigned me to. And as I was thinking on this lesson on tonight, it was so ironic because if you're in the United States, you know that the news media was flooded today with the hearing going on in the capital of the United States as it relates to the nominee, the judge nominee, and his accuser and accusers. And it's interesting because this story, the gist of this story, what I pulled out of it and what I wrote about in the book was how it is important that we have integrity, in every area of our life. And especially, it doesn't matter if you're on your home, doesn't matter if you're in a workplace, in the community, your integrity needs to show up. And even on today, I was watching, you know, this message was kind of churning up in my spirit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it today. There's a book by Dr. Harry Cloud called Integrity. It's a Christian book, and it's talking about how leaders need to have integrity. And what I love about this story is God used two midwives from the Bible to show how he views character and integrity. If you would join me in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, for the ones who's listening in online, I am on YouTube Live as well. I am live on YouTube on my page, Shayna Wise. But I will be in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. And let me give you some background of the text. The background of this text is the Israelites, at this point of the text, were still slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh still had rule over them. This was right around the time when Moses was born. And the Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years, and now was the time that God was about to do an amazing thing in not just their history, but the history of the earth, the history of the whole world. God was about to do a miraculous thing through his people that were in bondage in Egypt. And right in the smack dab of the midst of all that was going on, all this oppression, slavery, and God planned manifesting. They put a little blurb in here about Shapur and Pua. So join me in verse 15. I'll be reading from the New International Version. It says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shapur and Pua, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summons the midwives and asks them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. So I'm going to stop right there. Just that text by itself, a lot of times we don't have to interpret a lot of text because the text will interpret itself. This is very clear. This is very blunt. You don't have to try. It's not a parable. It's not something that you have to meditate or ponder on to figure out. But this was actually taking place at this time in Egypt. The king of Egypt, which they called Pharaoh, wanted the Israelite baby boys killed. He wanted to execute them. And some might ask the question, well, why the boys and not the girls? The reason being is because the boys are the ones that are the seed carriers. They are the ones, you know, that help to reproduce the nationality, the nation. It is the seed of that man, the child that comes forth. You know, they're declared a Hebrew. Whereas if you were a girl back in that time, the people of Egypt could intermingle with the women, have children, and then those children would be either mixed race or considered Egyptian. So there was an attack against God's seed, against God's blessing. God had already called the Israelites blessed. He had already promised Abraham. He had already told him back in Genesis that he was going to be the father of many nations and that his seed would be blessed. Abraham was the father, one of the fathers of the Israelite people. Many times we hear in the Bible the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whenever you hear that in a sentence, that identifies that which God you are talking about, because there are many gods, little G-O-Ds. But the true and living God, the creator of all, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was even prophesied. God told Abraham back in Genesis that he was going to birth a mighty nation through him, but they were going to be in bondage for 400 years. And then he told Abraham, I will bring them out. And God did exactly what he said that he was going to do. But many of us do know that the enemy does not like the plans of God. But what I love about God, you can't stop him. You can't block him. And it doesn't matter what the enemy does or the schemes or the tactics that come up against the children of God, it will not prevail. Because if you listen, when I spoke the prayer earlier, God had already declared that he's going to send forth his word and it's not going to return void. That means if God spoke it, so shall it be. And it does not matter who agrees with it, who likes it, who tries to overthrow it. It cannot, because his word stands. The Bible also declares that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will stand. So again, getting back to the text, I just had to pause right there for some station identification. The midwives were in this period of time where they were confronted and told. They weren't asked. They were told to execute the Hebrew boys. And let me ask you guys a question. Has anybody ever asked you to do something to compromise your Christian faith? Many of us have arose with these challenges. It doesn't matter what part of the world you are in, you will be challenged and you will be asked to do things that's contrary to the belief, to what you say you believe. You will be asked to do things that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Even so, you will be asked to do things that can cause you to lose your job, to lose your reputation, to lose maybe your family, and possibly even your own life. My sister shouted out many countries that listen in on the broadcast from around the world. And we do know and understand that there are still those that are being persecuted for Christ's namesake. And a lot of them, people in various parts of the world have lost their lives because just like these Hebrew midwives, they refuse to compromise their faith. They feared God more than man. And because of it, Some of them are tortured, some of them are persecuted, and many are killed and beheaded. So we don't take this gospel lightly. We don't take this walk of faith as just a little cakewalk. But this is serious. But what I love about this passage is that it's very encouraging to the body of Christ, to the ones that's standing and will not compromise. A lot of times God puts us in situations and circumstances to see if we're going to compromise. And sometimes we, as Christians, we do compromise. We do compromise our faith. We do sit back and be silent when we're supposed to speak. We'll sit back and condone sin instead of confront it. We'll sit back and want to compromise our faith, do a pick and choose what part of Scripture we do and do not want to do. But these midwives, Shapporah and Puah, if you read in the text, it said that they feared God. And that's a lot of why people compromise believers. They compromise because a lot of them fear man more than God. Or they love their reputation. They love their job. They love their money. They love their comfort zone. They love that. And they fear losing that. And so they compromise who they are in God. But let me give you a little tip here, a little insight. True fear of God will cause you to worship him in spirit and in truth. When you see the word fear of God, it's not the type of fear that the enemy walks around in. That type of fear is totally opposite from the fear of God. We're going off wordplay here. So the enemy, Satan himself, walks around in fear. And that's the number one tool he likes to use on the children of God is fear. That is his number one weapon against the children of God is fear. Because that's the only thing he walks around in is fear. And then some might ask, well, why do you say that, Pastor Shana? It's because his time is running out and he knows where his final destination is. He knows that he messed up. And he knows there's nothing that he can do about it. And so he walks around in fear. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. When you worship God in spirit and in truth, your worship, your true worship with God, will keep your character and your integrity. Many people compromise their character and integrity because they're straddling the fence. A lot of people got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and then some people is just all the way in the world. But when you truly worship God, when you truly fear the true and living God, it will cause you, your behaviors, and it doesn't matter what a situation or circumstance is, it will cause you to respond in a manner of godly integrity and character. And that's what happened with these midwives. They had got the order from the king of Egypt to kill the Hebrew boys. But they knew exactly who they were. They know that, you know what, even though I'm in slavery, even though we're in bondage in Egypt, we still are going to choose to serve the true and living God. Now, remember, saints, this is during the time before Moses even stepped on the scene. Remember, Moses was, I had to go back to the text, but he might not even been born at this point. Or if he was born, he was a baby. So this was before all of the plagues hit Egypt. It was before God delivered them out of Egypt. It was before all of that. This happened during a time that they were in slavery. And despite the situation, despite the circumstances of slavery, they still chose to serve and worship God. And I want to pause right there, because it might be somebody on the line that feels like you're in slavery to something. There might be somebody who feel like they're in debt and they're a slave to their debt. Or they might feel like they're at a job and they really don't like it. It's not that they're not getting treated the best, but they don't have any other option right now. This is what they have to do for right now. In the United States, slavery is against the law. It's illegal. But at one time, it was legal. And guess what? We would be a fool to believe that slavery doesn't exist in other parts of the earth, because the truth is, it does. But there's physical slavery, and then there's spiritual. A lot of people are slaves to stuff in the spirit. But what I love about these Hebrew midwives, they were in physical slavery. So they pretty much was the property of the Egyptians. But yet they still chose to fear God over man. And then let me drive this point in a little bit further. Since they were property, and since they were slaves, they didn't have any rights. So if the king himself told them to execute the Hebrew boys, that's what he expected. And any defiance to that could have cost them their lives. Back in those days, if you did not do what the king told you to do, you lost your life. So these midwives knew what was on the line. They knew that if they didn't do what the king told them to do, they could be executed. But again, they still chose to fear God over man. And that speaks volumes. As I was watching the hearings on today, and I don't really like to get into a lot of politics and political talk or religious talk, but I'm going to just keep this as general as a whole. I like to look at all situations and circumstances, because there's always lessons to be learned from every situation. I don't care how bad it seems to be. Can you learn a lesson? And even furthermore, can you try to see what God is trying to teach and show through the various people, situations, and circumstances? And on today, there was a hearing, and various people were called in to swear under oath. And from after all this testimony was done, it was somebody was lying. We don't really know who, because nobody was there, but somebody was lying. Somebody wasn't telling the truth. And then on top of that, what makes me sad sometimes is that some people get so in allegiance to a particular party or belief that they will do anything in honor of their affiliation and their belief at all costs, even if that means they have to compromise the truth. And that is the problem with the world today, is that we have a lot of leaders in position. And you do not have to just be a governmental leader. But governmental leaders, they're the ones that have the influence over the laws of the land. And I don't know which country you may be in. But a lot of people, and they've been doing this for a long time, is, you know, they compromise to get what they want. They compromise their character and integrity to gain for a cause. But what saddens me is that so many people will be so diehard for what they believe. But what a, and then they'll turn around and say, oh, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Really? Really? Jesus said that you will know them by their fruit. And the sad thing that I see happening is that a lot of these people, especially, it really grieves my heart when they say, I take the oath. I swear to God. I swear to God I'm telling the truth. I swear to God I'm being truthful. Why are you going to bring God into it if you know you ain't going to be being truthful? Why you want to bring God into it? You know, Jesus even said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He said you don't have to swear about nothing. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. But, again, what's grieving my heart is even more so that this, you know, a lot of people in the earth are fearing God, man, than God. They're more committed to their belief and their allegiance to a man, a party, a movement. They're more committed to that than the law of God. So sad. But not even to talk about the government, what about just the CEOs of companies? What about school teachers? What about people just in any kind of position or authority? What about them? How many of them are choosing to compromise their integrity and their character? Many people are not being like Shapur and Pua and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to lie. No, I'm not going to steal. No, I'm not going to conspire. No, I'm not going to falsify documents. No, I'm not going to commit adultery. No, I'm not going to lead people into idolatry. No, I'm not going to work on Sunday. That's my day. That's the Lord's day. No, I'm not going to bear false witness. No, I'm not going to do that. So many people are compromising. But the point that I want to make from this scripture, as we continue to examine the scripture, because the midwives didn't compromise, God turned around and blessed them. And not a hair on their body was harmed. Let me put this very plain and simple, saints. The king of Egypt wanted the midwives to perform abortions. I'm going to pause right there. The king of Egypt wanted the midwives to perform. Well, abortion happens within the womb. But basically, it's the same type of stuff going. It's murder is murder. Murder is murder. And what he wanted them to do, he said, I know that you guys are the ones who deliver the babies. You're the ones that are with the mother as she is in labor. But what I want you to do is why the mother is not looking, why she's vulnerable. And any woman that has given birth to a child, right after that child comes out, you're tired, you're exhausted. You could be a little bit distracted because you've been in labor for so long. And they could have easily, you know, killed those boys. Easily, and the mother, and then they could have told the mom, oh, it was stillborn. It didn't make it. You know, he was telling them, murder, innocent lives, murder, abort. But guess what, saints? Why do we think this is not still going on today? Abortion is still taking place. And I want to pause right there because this can be a very sensitive subject. So I want to deal with this, especially being a woman. I know of a lot of women who have had abortions. And I've had some friends, close friends, that have had abortions. And the effects of that can be devastating emotionally later on. I want to pause right here. And if you are a woman listening who has had an abortion, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for that sin, just like he did every other sin of the world. There's a lot of women still walking around in condemnation because of it. But the Bible says that if you repent your sins, to who? Not man, but to God. You repent unto him. The Bible says if you confess your sins unto God, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We are living in a time that Christ has came and he has redeemed us with his blood. So for any woman who has had an abortion, Jesus still loves you. He forgives you. He wants you to come unto him. But learning the lesson from that is that you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that anymore because, see, a lot of things we do out of ignorance. But once you have come into the truth will set you free. And then you will no longer have to continue in sin anymore. So I wanted to put that there because, you know, we always have to put the devil in his place. Always. Especially with subjects like this. But as a spirit-filled believer as well, most definitely I'm pro-life. Why? Because the God I serve is pro-life. The God I serve is life. And so, again, he does not desire us to get abortion, to have an abortion. That is not what he would like, you know. And again, this is a touchy subject. This is what's being fought about right now in the political season. Right now we're in the midst of an election, and this issue is on the ballots. This issue is on the documents, whether the government should give money to Planned Parenthood for funding. This issue is out there, you know. And so, again, we have to, again, as Christians, we can't be silent. We have to speak. But yet, we have to speak in wisdom and understanding. And most importantly, we have to speak in love. Because nobody is ever drawn to Christ through condemnation. Rather, people are drawn to Christ because of his love. And that's what I want to put there, that God loves you no matter what you have done. It might be some listeners on the broadcast. You might have murdered somebody. You might not have had an abortion, but there's a lot of people that have got away with murder. But guess what? If you look in, keep reading in Exodus, you see that Moses was a murderer. He murdered somebody. There's quite a few murderers in the Bible that God used. Now, am I saying go out and murder? No. Is it that one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. But see, that's why God sent his son Jesus Christ to be the advocate. And a lot of people don't understand. They still miss the whole meaning of the cross. The whole meaning of the cross is restoration and redemption and forgiveness of sins. And I just wanted to put that out there. Because I know a lot of believers, and they're really hardcore on this issue. And it's nothing wrong with being pro-life. Absolutely nothing wrong. But you still have to come in love and not condemnation. So the Holy Spirit had me to bring up this point too. Abortion is happening every day, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Every time we sit up here and choose to compromise or choose to turn our back on God, that's a little bit of spiritual, but we're spiritually aborting our blessings. Because God wants to bless his children. But one thing God will not do is bless sin. And a lot of people have been praying to God for this and that and praying to God for him to bless them and praying to God for various things, but they don't want to give up sin. And then they're wondering, why aren't things changing? Well, a lot of times, again, he can't bless sin. He's a holy God. But what I love about him, he pours his grace and mercy out on us. Amen. The Bible said, while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. But again, getting back to that spiritual abortion, spirit is still happening. A lot of visions, dreams, purposes are being aborted in the spiritual realm. And then, of course, everything in the spirit manifests to the physical if we don't kill it in the spiritual life through repentance, through obedience. God was looking at these women, Shapura and Pua. He was looking to see, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And again, because the midwives did this wonderful thing by choosing not to be murderers. You know, there's people that's for hire that are murderers, and that's basically what the king of Egypt wanted them to do. He wanted them to work for him, the kingdom of darkness, and be murderers. Their profession was midwives, which God had blessed and ordained. And Pharaoh wanted to pit him on his team and make them murderers. But the same thing is still happening in the world today. Many of us are getting offers and opportunities that will compromise our integrity and character. You do not have to look far to see it happening all around us. Look at all the celebrities. Look at all the entertainers. You know, people nowadays, they just get married for show. It ain't real. They just want to get married for show. And then they turn around and do even just detestable things. There's people that get on TV and open up their mouth and say any and everything. You can't halfway watch a good movie. I like to watch movies. And many times I find myself having to turn the movie off because they're using the name of the Lord in vain. And back in the day, you would watch a movie or TV show and it'd say like rated R. So you knew exactly what time it was if you saw that R rating or PG-13. R meant nudity, vulgar language, whatever. PG-13 meant they're gonna be use some curse words. You know, but nowadays you could just turn it on regular TV and they're just letting anything rip out their mouth, using the Lord's name in vain, saying the word of a female dog or a donkey on regular TV in the daytime where children can hear. And no shame. But again, why do they do that? Because they like that dollar more than they fear God. They fear losing out on their ratings or people liking them or certain roles and shows, so they compromise. And they sit up there and they're, you know, just and they display everything that's contrary to the word of God. So sad. But then you look at the Grammy Awards, you look at the Emmys and the Oscars, and they'll say, I want to first give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Really? Oh, I want to praise God. Really? Because when I listen to your music, every other word is a cuss word. I've heard you use the Lord's name in vain. But now you want to give praises to him. But once again, saints, Jesus said you should know them by their fruit. What I love about the midwives is that fruit remain. Jesus said, you shall bear fruit, and your fruit will remain. And it says at the in verse 21, and because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And back then, to have a family of your own is a blessing, because that's your lineage. That's your legacy. Well, you're dead and gone, your seed is still living on. He says, since you have helped these women bring forth these male children, and since you have chose to worship and obey me, I'm going to turn around and give you the very thing you help others to achieve. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, saints, that's what obedience will do. And that's what the God we serve will do. He will reward you for your faithfulness. But what do we got to do? We got to stand firm on our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. These midwives' lives were at stake. Back then, women had no rights. First of all, if you was a free woman, you still didn't have no rights. Not back in them days, you was property. These women were slaves, and you're going to defy the king of Egypt? And so that leads me to this question. So they were willing to risk their lives to save the lives of these Hebrew boys. And my question unto you today, saints, are you willing to risk your life so that somebody else can live? That's a tough question, but it's a strong one. And it's one that, and Jesus gave his life for us. And we sit around and say, oh, I'm so thankful Jesus saved me. He died for me. And that's great. But now, are you willing to risk your life so that somebody else can live? Even in the work and what I do as a female pastor, still not accepted around the world and in various body parts of the body of Christ. It's still not accepted. And it's risky. And guess what, saints? Yes, I do experience attacks. I do experience warfare. I do experience the adversary because of the work, because of the calling, because of the ministry that God has for me. And best believe, saints, there's some days where I don't feel like doing it. There's some days where those attacks come from here, there, and everywhere. But yet, I choose to keep going forward. And even if I have to take the attacks, the misunderstandings, the criticism, the stones being thrown, I take it, because if what I do causes one person to say, what must I do to be saved? Guess what, saints? It's all worth it to me, and even my very own life. Even my very own life. If this what it takes, I'm willing to go forward. And but let me tell you my testimony. Every time I went forward in the name of Jesus and I didn't compromise my integrity, I didn't compromise my character, I stood on the word of God, I stood on my faith, God has been faithful to me. And Lord Jesus, he has blessed me. And I'm getting a little emotional because I know the God that I serve. And just like the midwives, I fear him. I have been in his presence. I have experienced his blessings. I have experienced his favor. And I, most importantly, I have experienced his faithfulness. And I have vowed to him that I will continue to do the work until he calls me home. Just like the midwives, Shapur and Pua, they said, we're not going to be the abortionists. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to kill these boys. We're not going to be a part of a genocide We're not going to have their blood on our hands. And if it means our life, then we take that. But here's a revelation that I got from this passage. That your acts of obedience today can affect the nation of tomorrow. And I just want to park that right there. Your acts of obedience today can affect the nation tomorrow. If you, because of what the midwives did, if you go back and read in verse 20, it says, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. That's called a birthing of a nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Over 2 million people walked out of Egypt with Moses when God delivered them. And the midwives played their part in that number because they chose not to lay a hand on God's children. They knew that they were a child of God, even though they was a woman, and even though they were slaves, and even though they were property of the king, even though all of those factors were against them and under them, they still chose to serve God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there might be somebody now listening on the airway and online, and you're being put in a situation where somebody or something or some system is challenging you to compromise in your faith. I want to encourage you on today, don't shrink in, don't give up, raise that banner high, and stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And just like the midwives, God is going to bless you for your faithfulness. He said, if you don't be ashamed of me, I ain't going to be ashamed of you. And that's all of those situations and circumstances are setups by God himself to see if, are you going to be ashamed of me? Because I'm never ashamed of you. Matter of fact, I love you. I died for you. He said, and my grace and mercy is limitless towards you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is a protector. He's a keeper. When the enemy comes up against you, the king couldn't do nothing with him. Hallelujah. That's a good word for somebody on today. You might be on your job, and they might be threatening to fire you because you won't compromise your Christian faith. Hallelujah. But just like these midwives, your boss can't stop the God that you serve. So keep serving, saints. Hallelujah. Keep serving, saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This world is going to change. Hallelujah. The world just don't change when we say, world, I want you to change. But the world changes every time we choose Christ. Don't matter where you are, what position you have, whether you work at McDonald's, whether you sweep the floors, whether you a stay-at-home mama, whether you're the CEO of a company, or whether you're the president or official in government. The same rules apply. God is looking for us to uphold his kingdom here on earth. And we do it through our obedience to the word. And we do it through our faithfulness to the word. And we do it through our character and our integrity. And that comes forth when the word shows up in us in the midst of adversity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for using Shapur and Pua. Hallelujah. Two midwives that showed us that we don't have to compromise. Hallelujah. The last point I want to make, saints, is that these women were midwives. That was their profession. And many of us have different professions in here. Some of us are school teachers. Some of us, like me, I'm a nurse. Some of us are bus drivers. Some of us, whatever, Uber drivers, whatever your job is, it doesn't matter. Because a job is a job. But what I want you to think about and examine is, how are the skills that God has given you connected to the kingdom? That's a question that I want to pose on tonight. How are your skills, how is your skills connected to the kingdom? And let me rephrase this for the ones that's going back to work tomorrow. When you show up at your job, when you show up at your employer, some of y'all might be self-employed. Whatever it is, some of y'all might be in ministry. Whatever God has placed you, how is your position connected to the kingdom of God? These midwives' skill was that they were able to help women in their childbirth process. That was their profession. That was their skill. But they used their skill. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Their skill wasn't just a skill for themselves, but it was a blessing to the people of that community. And not only that, a midwife's job is to guarantee the health and the safety of the newborn baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was their skill. Their job, and it's still prevalent on today, is to ensure the well-being, not over the newborn baby, but as the other mother as well, to tend to her needs before, during, and after care, and then also the baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was their job. But the bigger picture in this was that they were, their direct skills, gifting, and anointed aided in the birthing of the nation of Israel. And some of us walking around here thinking that we don't have no purpose, we don't have this, we don't have that. Get your mind out of that mindset. God can use you anywhere. I don't care if you're flipping burgers. I don't care if you're sweeping garbage on the street. I don't care if you're picking up cans on the street. There's purpose in that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In every profession, in every way that we get our money and our resources, guess what? Those resources and those dollars are connected to people and souls. And you matter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You matter. And just because you don't have a big fancy title, that don't mean nothing. Titles don't mean nothing to God. What he's looking for is your fruit. That's what matters. So next time you're feeling low about yourself and say, well, I don't got this degree and I don't got this education and I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, God ain't concerned about that, baby. He ain't worried about that. What he is worried about is your fruit. He got some fruit in you and he wants it to come forth, and that fruit is supposed to be a blessing to somebody else. The midwives was not just a blessing, again, to the women and the children. They were a blessing to the whole nation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to, for your homework, for your reflection time, for your meditation time, reflect on how this passage of scripture relates to you and your purpose. Think about and reflect on where is your character integrity at, and in the workplace, in the home, in the church, in your ministry. If God was to come down and do a character and integrity assessment on you, would you pass the test? Shapur and Pua did. They passed that test. Hallelujah. They passed the test, and because they passed the test, they were blessed from it. And saints, and my prayer is that we don't continue to have abortions in the spirit because of disobedience and compromise. God wants to bless us, and he wants to bless us more abundantly. He has it for us. The kingdom is here. Hallelujah. And the kingdom, even in our lives, is wrapped up in our obedience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The kingdom is wrapped up in our obedience. So again, saints, that's all I have for tonight. Again, stay encouraged. This, my prayer that this was a message of encouragement. It's a message of reflection. Even my prayer is that maybe somebody repented because maybe they've been compromising. You know, there's a lot of people that go to church and they cheat on their spouses. That's compromising. There's a lot of people that praise God with the same tongue and curse people with the same tongue. That's compromising. There's some people who's on the praise team and sing. And they sing the house down on Sunday and go right back to being heathens on Monday. That's compromising. There's preachers preaching in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, a message to the congregation, but yet they're not even heeding to the word for themselves. Compromise. There's people that's not standing up against or when things are blatantly not of God, they're still participating in it, participating in conversations, looking at things that they're not supposed to look at, listening to things that they're not supposed to listen to, engaging in conversations that they're not supposed to be in, speaking things that God wouldn't have them to say. Compromise. And again, what things are you aborting in the spirit? Shapur and Pua told us how to be the opposite, that we don't have to spiritually abort our blessings. We can worship God in spirit and in truth, and we can keep that, we can uphold the standard of our values in God. We don't have to compromise. They showed us that you can do it at all costs. At all costs, you can do it. But the question on today, saints, is will you? Father God, I just come to you saying thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you, Father God, penned in your word. It wasn't by accident or mistake that you penned these women in your holy manuscript. And I say thank you for that, Father God. You penned this story right where it needed to be to give us encouragement, to give us strength, Father God, that we can stand on our solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Father God, I'm praying for our nation. I'm praying for our leaders. I'm praying for those in position, Father God, that the fear of God will fall upon them, Father God, and they will walk uprighteously in the name of Jesus, that they won't compromise their faith. And many of them don't know you. They say they do, but they don't. So, Father God, I just pray for divine intervention, hallelujah, revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord. You said in your word that the governments rest on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father God, even for the ones with no titles, positions, or authorities, but just believers, let them know that wherever they're at and whatever they're doing, that they make a difference. And it's not insignificant, but it's very significant. It's very, because these two midwife slaves, hallelujah, had more impact over the nation than the king of Egypt. Hallelujah. And I say, so that lets me know that you can use whoever you want to get your glory and will accomplished in this earth. That's a word for somebody tonight. That you matter. And God loves you. And he needs you to walk every day in the integrity of the Lord. And he will bless you for your faithfulness. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise
amen.
God. Hallelujah. What a powerful
amen.
Word. Mm. Thank you, Lord. I think it's all
thank
been
you,
said
Jesus.
And done tonight.
Amen.
I don't see anybody wanting prayer, but I'm going to say this. You're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry, International Radio Broadcasts. If you're looking at the slideshow and you're listening by way of streaming, you can turn off the volume on your phone, dial 929-477-2442, press 1, and you'll have an opportunity to speak with Pastor Shana Wise about something she said or give her prayer request. I'll open your mic, but right now, I believe it's all been said and done. This is really a powerful word from the Lord and a powerful message about two women that did not compromise. They did not compromise. If you're going to be a ministry leader and you compromise with the world, with the devil, then and you're still having everybody to believe that you are so great and all that because you're hiding sin in your life.
Mm.
You really need to get it right because sin is not entering into heaven.
Amen.
These women are examples of ministry leaders. They had positions in the earth that God could count on them. And they were a true example of women of God that need to be in leadership.
Yes.
Some of you are sitting in the pews because you're shy and timid, and you need to just break out them pews and do what the Lord is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're called to leadership. You have that calling, anointing, and ability. Because God will use you because he knows that you're not going to compromise. He knows that you're not going to walk around, strut around, full of pride, letting people think that you're all that and something that you're not.
Mm.
That behind closed doors, you'll do whatever it takes to get your name great.
Mm.
But God doesn't want great names. He wants those that will walk in the anointing power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Anywhere you work, anywhere you live, you can be used of the Lord. And you can, and what these ladies did, they did as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go around advertising it. God put it in his word because he wanted the world to know, the church to know, that there are some women that are not going to bow.
Mm.
Even those in authority over them, they didn't bow to.
Mm.
There are some women that are going to obey God. Because there's people that you love, trust, and place in high esteem that'll tell you to do the opposite of what God tells you to do.
Mm.
And they mean well. Or they're just watching their own back. You do what God tells you to do. Don't be like the young prophet that placed this older prophet in such high esteem. And the prophet lied to him and said, the Lord told me to tell you to stop and fellowship with me. And he did. And then he prophesied to him his death. And it happened. You know, I've been in situations so many times, Pastor Shana, that mm-hmm. God has told me to do something, and I've shared it with the church leader, and they've watered it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to walk out of that meeting feeling the opposite of the way that I went in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one leader that called me back in that meeting. And he said, the Lord did say that to you.
Mm.
The other leader is still thinking whatever he wants to think.
Mm-hmm.
But I did and am going to do, and I am doing what God has said for me to do. That is my purpose because that glorifies him. I want eternal rewards. You can have all this stuff down here on earth. Because you can't take it to heaven with you.
Mm,
you
amen.
Can. There's amen. No eternal rewards down here but what you consciously do for Christ. And if you make it a pattern that only what you do for Christ will last, then it'll come natural.
Amen.
So it'll be eternal rewards. Boy, as soon as God sees your face, he's lining up. He's getting ready. He's going to shower you with those rewards. Now, God does shower us with rewards down here. But there are some that crave accolades. That's what they live
mm-hmm.
for. You get them down here, you're not going to get them up there in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So these two ladies were blessed to be in the Word of God.
Mm.
And that's powerful. Can you find yourself in the Word of God? My Lord, as your life lining up with the Word of God like these ladies, find examples, powerful message, women of integrity and faith. They believed God in spite of what the king said.
Hmm.
Mm. Boy,
yeah.
They believed God
shout.
In spite of what the king said.
Yep.
You know, some people are just serving the devil, and they think they're serving God. What a deception. What a deception. I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I am blessed by this message. I got to listen to this again, again, and again. And I am going to use the link every day online to get people to hear this message. Because
amen.
I want you to understand,
you.
Pastor Shana, you can always use the link. It'll
mm-hmm.
always work. For you know, even if I don't do this broadcast anymore, the links will still work. You
amen.
Can put them out there, tell them what they're about, and let people click on the link and listen to the broadcast when they feel like it, when they want to, when God leads them to. So nobody
amen.
Has called in for prayer. Is there anything you would like to say? What is next week's topic? You can give out your conference information, your website address, however you want to do it.
Yes, next week I'm going to be talking about Michal, wife of David, daughter of King Saul. So wife of King David, daughter of King Saul. And that chapter, when I wrote that years ago, It brought a little bit of healing to me because if you ever had to deal with a close family member with mental illness, you know, tormented, and be their family member, it is something else. So I'm excited about that because Michal, she was King Saul's daughter, and again, like the midwives, he wanted her to compromise, but she was in love and faithful to King David. So you don't want to miss that on next week and how God used her in a situation. And she was kind of torn between two men, her daddy and her husband. And there's some relationships in this world today where we're torn between our loved ones. Amen. So we're going to dive into that story next week. I really have enjoyed these broadcasts. Thank you again, Evangelist, for having me on, because this has truly been a blessing to me. Also, if you, yes, I do have a conference coming up Saturday, October the 13th from 9 in the morning to 4. It's called the Gumbo Experience. It's here in Jacksonville, Florida. If you want more information about that, go to ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com. Again, that's ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com. If you want to find out more information about me and all the ministry things that me and my husband are doing, please visit our website at WiseChoiceMinistriesInc.com. WiseChoiceMinistriesInc.com. My husband's just recently released a book that's talking about his own personal testimony from his car accident back in 2011. He had broke his neck in that car accident and sustained a spinal cord injury from it. Definitely a must-read for anybody who life has been flipped upside down and has become disabled. So imagine walking around being healthy and strong to having everybody wait on you because you can't do it anymore. Powerful testimony. So, again, that's all I have to share. Thank you again. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I pray that the broadcast blessed you.
Well, it's been an honor and a privilege. I want to end the broadcast with a message to all the listeners, to Pastor Shana and myself, because I believe that God saw the best in these ladies. He brought out the best in them. They were obedient to God. It didn't matter to them what anybody thought or even what the king said. So I just want to end the broadcast by saying, only what you do for Christ will last. Let me share this song with you, and good night.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, growthechurchnow.com.
One with God.